you've not done so, please turn up Mark's Gospel and chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 27 in the Black Church Bibles. That's page 844. I'm going to pray for us and then read from God's Word. God our Father, we do praise you that your Son Jesus paid it all. Thank you for the gospel. We do ask that as we receive the gospel read and preached, it would gladden our hearts. Pray too that you would do this word in us and show us too the cost of following a crucified Saviour. And we do ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, starting at verse 27. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Thanks be to God for his word to us today. This September, in our preaching in church, we're considering 4 basic Christian commitments. Commitments that are necessary for the health of our own souls, necessary for the health of our church. Today is the most basic of all commitments. Are you committed to Jesus? In verse 34 of our reading, Jesus says these words, "If anyone would come after me." And he then gives conditions attached to following him, to coming after him. But before we get there, just notice very simply, being a Christian is all about following Jesus. Being a Christian is about coming after him. Our first simple heading, follow Jesus. It's about being a disciple, about being a follower. Jesus was on a journey as he said these words. He is walking on his way to Jerusalem in the company of his disciples, a crowd too listening in. We're to imagine Jesus leaving footprints in the dust. Simply, being a Christian means following him. Where he goes, you put your feet too. The Jesus that we are to follow, he is the Jesus we meet in the Bible. There is no other. Put your feet in his. Follow him. At one level, that is very simple. But we are not beyond needing a reminder. Children, Jesus wants you to follow him. Grown-ups, the Lord Jesus wants you to follow him. Regulars, when you're trying to share the gospel with someone who's not yet a believer in Jesus, what are you doing? Well, at its most basic, are you not trying to help that man or woman, boy or girl, to meet Jesus? To follow Jesus as presented us in the Bible? And commending him to them and saying, let me show you what it is to start following him. Let's be honest, at the start perhaps of something of a new season, many things get in the way, Christian people, of our following Christ. On the path, things trip up our feet, busyness, the deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things, suffering. Perhaps in your mind's eye you can think, yes, there is one substantial thing right now that is tripping up my feet, distracting me from a clear following of Christ. Many of us have been following Christ for many years, some of us, though, now struggling. Maybe it is the demands of life or our own sinful nature. Perhaps we find ourselves this morning worn out and kind of frankly disorientated in our journey with Christ through life. We know that we need to get our feet back into his footsteps. It's where we need to be. We'll need fellow pilgrims to help us on that walk. Others of us, Christian people, going on with Christ, perhaps involved in areas of leadership or service, perhaps in the church, perhaps outside of Emmanuel, in a parachurch organization, we serve Christ in different ways. Well, don't lose sight of this. You never cease being a disciple of Jesus. Follow him. If we do lose sight of that, we are in deep trouble. Maybe some of us particularly need calling back to that simple truth. Being a Christian is about following Jesus. Things have got in the way, personal ambitions, doing good things. Some of us, I know, week by week, coming along to church, just learning Christ for the first time, wouldn't say, I'm a Christian yet. Well, if you know that you are on the outside of the Christian faith, well, get to know this Jesus. Perhaps you might like me to set you up with a church member who you could meet with one-on-one to ask questions, to study a bit of the Bible, to get to know this Jesus as he's presented to us in the Word of God, to help you come to answer that most important of all questions that Jesus asked them, the disciples, who do you say that I am? Follow Jesus. What more can we say with Jesus' help about this business of putting one foot in front of the other and following where Jesus wants us to go? Second heading. Following Jesus costs you nothing. Look at verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer, must be rejected, must be killed, after 3 days must rise again. That little word must that stands at the head of the verse, it is the most amazing word in verse 31. Jesus must die. He must rise. It has to happen. Jesus is talking about necessity. It explains, doesn't it, Jesus' extraordinary response to Peter. Peter, verse 32, he rebukes Jesus, you can't die. Verse 33, Peter, you are being like Satan to me. You are the devil's mouthpiece. This desire that I do not die, it is positively satanic. Here is the necessity of the cross. Old illustration. Imagine that this book here is a record of my life, much in it of which I might be proud, much of which I would be deeply ashamed were you to come and read the pages of it. Most of all, much in it that shows how I fail to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I fail to love my neighbor as myself. If God is a light up on the roof, and here is me here, and here is this record of my life, its effect is both to separate me from God and also to draw down from this holy, holy, holy God his right, justice, anger, and punishment. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. As you read the Gospels, you see in him a perfect life, perfect love of God, perfect love of neighbor. Yet he must suffer and die. And as he dies on the cross, the first Good Friday, he bears both my sin and the judgment and wrath of God at my sin, that I may be free from it and be forgiven. That is why must is perhaps that most precious word in Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. And it does give us this basic lesson in walking with Jesus, this basic lesson in being a disciple. It costs me nothing because it costs him everything. It's what the Bible calls grace. Imagine that lifelong path, walking with Jesus through life, through death, to heaven. There'll be different ones of us at different stages along it. Some here, being a Christian many a long year, perhaps years of serving Christ hard. Well, there has never been a step you've taken. There will never be a step you take along the disciples' path that is not a step in the grace and the mercy of Jesus. Others of us, right back over here, actually haven't even started yet walking through life with Jesus. Well, before you can start following him, you need to accept, to embrace the fact that you need Jesus to have died for you. Here is the difference between Christianity and every other religion, and indeed no religion. Listen to these words from Tim Keller. Right here, you can see the difference between Christianity and all other religions, including no religion. The essence of other religions is advice. Christianity is essentially news. Other religions say, this is what you have to do in order to connect to God forever. This is how you have to live in order to earn your way to God. Perhaps, Andy expressed earlier, you can then rock up to God and cut a deal at the last minute. But the gospel says, this is what has been done for you in history. This is how Jesus lived and died to earn the way to God for you. Christianity is completely different. It is joyful news. When someone gives you advice, it might be inspiring, but it's a burden. You've got something to do. The gospel is good news. Jesus has done it in history, dying on the cross, so you can know God as Father. Personally, it is a humbling thing. Those words of confession that we prayed earlier on, I'll bet some of us here, if we reread those carefully, we might think to ourselves, is that a little over the top? But Christian people, we know, owning up to our sin, our deep sin, our need of Jesus. And we know that it's wonderful because it leads us to Christ, in whom there is much more grace than there is sin in you and me. Following Christ costs us nothing. On our walk through life, how do we bring that into daily life? Into our minds and our hearts. Let me briefly just mention two basics of discipleship, two means of grace God gives us. Daily prayer, when we confess our sins, and when we praise God for the cross, we remind our hearts, we kind of take hold afresh of this, that following Christ costs us nothing. Daily prayer. And in the sacraments, in baptism and the Lord's Supper, we have two precious reminders, Christian people, of God's grace in Christ. Today, the waters of baptism, small, frail, sinful people washed clean. It's what baptism signs. Next Sunday, we'll be sharing the Lord's Supper. Jesus' blood shed, his body broken. We bring into our hearts and minds afresh this reality that following Jesus costs us nothing. Every step we take in the company of Jesus is a step in the grace of God. But the cross of Christ does not just pardon us, it also leaves its mark on us. Third heading, following Jesus costs you everything. Look at verse 34. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Why do we need to hear this? Firstly, if you're not a Christian yet, we need to be upfront with you about the cost of following Jesus. It is the best of all lives, but it costs. Christian people, sin means, does it not, that we want a cost-free discipleship. And that is a blasphemous impossibility. Consider Jesus' words. If anyone would come after me, let him first deny himself. That is about control. Who has the right to control your life? The Christian is someone who has ceded control over their heart, desire, mind, ambitions, family. I do not own me, he does. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And here we are speaking of cost. It's unfortunate that in the English language we sometimes talk about people bearing a cross and sometimes mean Aunt Agatha's hip or Cousin Johnny's job. You know, we all have our crosses to bear. It is an unfortunate turn of phrase. For the cross is not a minor inconvenience that stumbles across my life for which I deserve a bit of sympathy. When Jesus addressed the crowd and his disciples, he was on his way to the cross. Jesus' point, following him means going the same way. There's a little bit of the cross imprinted upon the life and experience of every Christian person. When Jesus calls someone to follow him, he calls him to come and die. All corners of my life, my desires, my ambitions, my career, my family, all subject to the loving rule of Christ, all now areas for obedience and service, not self-rule, all areas potentially where following Christ will bring cost. Jesus loves it as his disciples take up their cross and follow him. Now, why do you do something if you know it will hurt you? Why pursue a course of action if you know it will bring pain? Well, that's why verses 35 to 37 are there. Jesus says in the long run, it makes perfect sense. Jesus says it works like this. You can hang on to your life and your independence now. That's verse 35. You can save your life now, but in the long run, you will lose it. That means judgment and hell will be your eternal destiny. But if you follow Jesus now, if you cede control of your life now, if you take the pain of following Christ, well, the future is all of the riches of Jesus' joy and Jesus' heaven. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So who's mad now? The one who follows Jesus or the one who does not? An encouragement. There are brothers and sisters here, many, who have given up their lives. You know, such as you're able, with the Spirit's help, notwithstanding the fact that, yes, we walk through life with a sinful nature and sin still dogging us, but you've given up your lives. That is to say, you are trying to walk with Jesus, being a disciple, giving him control. And sometimes it hurts. Some of you, because you have made it known clearly that you are a public Christian. Others, because obeying Christ means that you have given up something that is dear to you. Our brother Andy illustrated that for you in his testimony earlier. Perhaps giving up a perfectly good ambition, but it needed to go so that you could follow Christ more wholeheartedly, and it hurt. Maybe others, you've had to say no to a relationship which you wanted to pursue, but which you knew Christ did not want you to. And it hurt. It is painful. Jesus loves it when his followers walk his way, when our lives, when our experiences show the shadow of the cross. But our passage doesn't just encourage, it also warns. Are you trying to save your life? There will be some of us here, you know that you've never given over control of our lives to Jesus. Some of us, though, we all know there is a significant corner of our lives where we are walking away from Jesus, where it couldn't honestly be said, I am denying self and taking up the cross. Striking, isn't it? The example that Jesus gives. Are you ashamed of Jesus, verse 38, and of his words? Maybe for some of us, we don't want to publicly and clearly line up behind the Bible and his words for fear, loss of reputation, damage to career, loss of job even. Well, that verse warns us there is a still greater fear. That shuddering thought that Jesus might be ashamed of me. Encouragement, warning, and as we close, an exhortation for all of us. On the road with Jesus, how can you help your fellow travelers? So, members of Emmanuel Church. You're not just called to be committed to Christ, but also committed to your brethren. We don't walk with Christ through life as solo travelers, but we walk along the road hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to dig into this idea of commitment to church, commitment to one another. And the reason behind it all, that when you follow Christ, you join a family, you join a band of pilgrim travelers with responsibilities not just to Christ, but to one another. More on that anon, but for this morning, let me leave you that responsibility. How can you help your brothers and sisters along the road? Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray. While I pray, the musicians will come up. We'll sing in response to God's word. But while we remain seated, let me lead us in prayer. Father in heaven, for each one of us here today, help us get the nothing and the everything right. Would we know, would we feel the beauty of a gospel of grace? Save us from thinking we can save ourselves, be we young or old in the Christian faith. But Heavenly Father, we do want to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus. Where there is repentance, give us that gift. Where there is help needed, please make us quick to share and equally quick to help. And we do ask that for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.